we should be a people who take God seriously. Is that right? We should take God seriously. And if we take God seriously, we should take His Word seriously. And this means that we should have an intense, passionate commitment to the authority of Scripture. And we need to ask ourselves, you know, do we, do you, do I have this commitment, you know, to the authority of Scripture? So the title of my message this morning is The Bible. The Bible. We're going to talk about the Bible here this morning. You know, some years back, I remember speaking to somebody, and they actually told me, you know, the Bible, yeah, you know, the Bible is really, you know, it's just a whole lot of words. It's a whole lot of words written by man, and it's bound in normally like a leather cover. Huh? That's what the Bible is. In other words, man wrote the Bible, and then they kind of say that, you know, but really sometimes if a person reads the Bible, there might be something helpful for them between those two leather covers. Now, have you ever been exposed to people having this kind of lack of understanding of what the Bible is all about? Have you been exposed to people like that? I'm sure you have, right? So we're going to be having a look at a fair amount of Scripture this morning. Sometimes when we gather together like this, it's good that we get into the Word. So we're going to look at Scripture. Now, I want to start off with a question, and that is, what does the Bible say about the Bible? And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it starts off and it says, all Scripture is breathed out by God. That's the starting point. We need to get our head around that, that all Scripture is breathed out by God. In other words, the Bible, the Scriptures, the verses we see in the Word of God are God-inspired. And it goes on to say, and are profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training, or in other words, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We need to be equipped for every good work. And God uses the hand of people to write the Bible. You know, because when you speak to unbelievers, so often they'll just say to you, you know what? You know, the Bible is just written by man. And you know what? They're correct. It is written by man. It's written by the hand of man. But it is under the unction and under the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. And therefore, all Scripture is God-breathed. Because it is written by the Holy Spirit. All Scripture is God-breathed and all Scripture is God-inspired. And having said that, if the Bible says it, we can believe it. Is that true? Tell the person next to you. If the Bible says it, we can believe it. So what should we believe about the Bible? God tells us in the Bible, first of all, you know, the different ways that He communicates with us. Now, I was thinking about that as I was preparing this, and in the not-too-distant future, I'm going to share a message here on the different ways that God speaks to you, because there are many different ways, and we need to know them. But the Bible says that, first of all, that we were created to have fellowship with God. One of the reasons why God created mankind was so that we could have fellowship with God. He wants us to speak to Him, but at the same time, He wants to speak to us as well. And the Bible, as I said, reveals the different ways that God communicates with us, the different ways that God communicates with mankind. And like I said, there are many. For example, it talks about creation. Listen, if you go outside at night and you look up at the moon and the stars all just hanging there, you got to believe that there's a God. Is that true? That didn't just happen by accident. And during the day as well, you know, we see the sun and how the sun moves. And, you know, the sun, what is it, 93 million miles away from us, they reckon that if it was a kind of a few thousand kilometers closer or a few thousand kilometers further away, I mean, we would have a problem. That's how precise God is. You know, when you look at your garden and see these flowers and insects, surely you've got to believe that there is a God out there. So he speaks to us through creation. He also speaks to us through our conscience. Is that right? Now, your conscience tells you the difference between right and wrong. And what's interesting about the conscience is that you don't have to, you know, be a believer to have a conscience, because when God creates us, he makes sure that we have a conscience. The problem is, I think I said this last week or the week before, what we start to do when we continually do something wrong, incorrect, we start to sear our conscience. And our conscience being the voice of our own spirit, not the Holy Spirit, the voice of our own spirit, eventually doesn't speak to us anymore. And then we don't know the difference between right and wrong. And I think this is what's happening, man, you know, when I see what's happening in countries like North America, what they accept as right, and people really believe is right, that is totally contrary to what the Word of God says. Surely something has gone wrong. But again, you know, everybody has a conscience, but we start to sear our conscience, and eventually our conscience doesn't speak to us anymore. God will also speak to us through the audible voice of God. This doesn't often happen, but sometimes it does. God speaks audibly to some people. It might be also that God speaks to us by the leading of the Holy Spirit. We just know that we know that the Holy Spirit is guiding. Like, remember Paul. Paul knew, you know, he said, well, the Holy Spirit said we shouldn't go into that area, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying that we should go into that area. So it is by the leading of the Holy Spirit as well. And there's a whole lot more. But I said all of that to say this, that the most common way that God will speak to you and that he will speak to me is through the Bible. Is that true? That is the most common way that God will speak to us, folks. And if that is the most common way that God is going to speak to us, surely, as believers, we need to be reading the Bible. We really do, folks. We need to read the Bible. It says in 2 Timothy 3:15, it says, and now from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation. So even right there, the Word of God is able to make you wise for salvation. How? I mean, we just go to, what's it, Romans 10 verse 9. Makes us wise. How do you get saved? How do you get born again? By making the decision to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, right? It says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We see in 2 Peter 1 verse 20, it says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. It's not what we think, right? Goes on to say, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Again, it's under the anointing or the unction of the Holy Spirit that the Word of God is actually written. So, having said all of that, I thought I'd give us a really good definition of the Bible. You want to hear a good definition of the Bible? Now, this is a definition, I don't know where I got this, many, many years ago, but I think it's very cool. So, I'm going to read it to us here this morning. The Bible is divinely inspired. In other words, it comes from God, right? Infallible record of God's revelation to mankind. Now, God's revelation to mankind is what you will see in the Bible. Everything, folks, everything that God wants you and I to know about him and about creation, and in fact, everything he wants us to know is in the Word of God. And those things that he doesn't want us to know is not in the Word of God. Huh? And then this definition says, and the Bible is our final authority in all matters of life. If we know that the Word of God is the final authority, then we would not be confused about what is right and wrong. And what nations are arguing about, what is right and wrong. Because it is our final authority in all matters of life. And not only in matters of life, in doctrine as well. In other words, it is not just what people think. It is really, we need to take the word of God and we need to unravel it and interpret it and know what God is saying. Still the definition. It contains everything we need to know for salvation. Very important. And nothing can or must be subtracted from or added to it. Now, isn't it interesting that there are some religions out there that take the word of God as it is and they just manipulate certain words. Certain words where those, and they print it like that, that those Bibles are absolutely incorrect. Just by manipulating a few words because it changes what Christianity is all about. We won't get into that right now. But we need to know that, folks, that people do try to add to the scriptures or take away from the scriptures. So everything we need to know for salvation, and nothing can or must be subtracted from it or added to it. Then the Bible is divinely inspired and therefore infallible. Isn't that wonderful to know? That we can trust the Word of God, right? So the Bible is interesting because the Bible is really a library. It's a library of 66 books. And these books are not always in chronological order, right? So sometimes it can become a bit confusing. But now that you know that, you're not going to be confused by that, all right? And also, this is going to disappoint a whole bunch of you here this morning, that the Bible did not just fall out of heaven as it is and onto somebody's lap. Do you know that? It didn't fall out of heaven. It's very interesting because it was progressively pieced together over a period of, now, I checked this out and I couldn't get the exact time span, between 1,500 years and 2,000 years. It was progressively, as I say, pieced together over that period of time, and there are contributions over that period of time of more than 40 authors. Isn't that amazing? And all of these authors were inspired by God, so it was written under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So, that's my introduction. Are we ready to rock and roll here this morning? I want to give us some reasons. In fact, I'm just going to give us 10 reasons why we should study and read the Bible. And please don't stand up and say afterwards, well, and give me another 5, because there's probably another 10 or 20 or 30, I don't know. But I'm just going to give us 10 reasons here this morning why we should read the Word of God, why we should study the Word of God. And the first one is, it shows us God. The Word of God shows us God. And folks, I want to say there is no easier way, there's no better way, there's no surer way of getting to know God than through His Word. So if you want to get to know God, the way to do it is through His Word. And what He does, you know, in the Word, He reveals His attributes to us very, very clearly. We see it right throughout the Bible. And it's only by you and I spending time reading the Bible will you find out what God is really like. I'm just saying. You know, many people, you know, have the wrong interpretation of, remember, I think last week I spoke about, we need to see God as a joyful God. If you don't see God as a joyful God, you know, you're not going to respond to God in the way that we should respond. Is that right? So that's the first thing. Now, the second one is the Bible renews our minds. Now, folks, I don't know if you've noticed that we live in a very sick world. Have you noticed? We do. We live in a very sick world. And the problem is that this sick world that we are living in is continually trying to squeeze its values into our minds. That's the world system. So it will continue to squeeze and do whatever it can to ensure that we embrace this world system and this world values. And because the problem with that is that our thoughts ultimately determine our actions. Is that right? So when we are getting incorrect, thinking, whatever it is, values, that's the word I'm looking for. If we are embracing incorrect values and we start to think about them, ultimately it's going to lead to our actions. We're going to start to respond and act incorrectly. So it's therefore so important that we keep on daily filling our minds with God's thoughts and God's words. How's the temperature out there? Do you want it colder? Are you okay? I'm just checking. I look here because the aircon doesn't reach me. You guys are so blessed. Right, so I'm the one that gets hot under the collar here. So folks, really it is so important that we are aware of this, that we keep on filling our minds with God's thoughts. And we rise up and we do not accept this world and this world system and its concepts and ideas, because if we accept it, ultimately we're going to act on it. And the only way, really the only way, is by reading the Word. Is that true? How are you going to know what God is really like? How are you going to know what God is saying if you do not embrace, you know, His Word? So the Bible renews our minds so that we are able to know what the will of God is. Now, Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world. In other words, do not allow this world and this world system to mold you. Don't allow it to mold you. But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable and perfect. In other words, we have to somehow get our thinking to line up with the Word of God. And how can you get your thinking to line up with the Word of God if you're not taking time to read it? Huh? The next thing, the Bible, you're talking about that, helps us in spiritual warfare. Now, you may say, well, okay, well, let me say this. You know, a wonderful thing happened when you got born again and I got born again. We made a decision to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Is that right? We made that decision and we became a new creature. We became a new creation. But what happened at that point, with all that excitement that went on, you and I became part of the army of God. You and I are part of the army of God, all right? And God's Word, or the Bible, is described in the Bible as the sword of the Spirit. Is that true? The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So we can see here that the sword of the Spirit is a weapon. It's an offensive weapon, and it's an offensive weapon against our enemy. And who's our enemy? The devil, right? The evil one. We know that he's out there, and he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and to destroy. So we need to learn to use the Word of God in exactly the same way as Jesus actually used God's Word when he was tempted in the wilderness. Do you know that he was tempted in the wilderness? I want to read it to us. I'll read it now. But first, Ephesians 6:17, it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon. Huh? Offensive weapon, which is the Word of God. So we can see how important, folks, it is that we know what's in the Word. Now this is how Jesus used the Word when he was in the desert. This is what happened. I'll read it. This is from Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. And it says, and Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So we see that he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Whenever I read that, I think, like, duh. I mean, really? Huh? If you haven't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights, you're probably rather peckish. Is that true? So he was hungry. And of course, the devil knew that he was hungry. So watch what happens now. And the tempter, this is the devil, this is the evil one, came and he said to Jesus, and he says it like this, if you are the Son of God, Jesus, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Now notice Jesus' response. And Jesus answered and he said, it is written. It is written. So Jesus there quotes from the Bible. Is that right? From the Word of God. Jesus, when he is confronted by the evil one, he responds and he says, hey, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So that's how Jesus responded to the devil. But now watch here. This devil, he doesn't just stop. And he didn't stop with Jesus, and he's not going to stop with you either. Verse 5, then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. And the devil said to Jesus, he said, ha, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. Now, how's that? Now, the devil is quoting scripture to Jesus. Huh? It is written, Jesus. Quoting, can you believe it? Right? And he will command, that's God will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands, they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. And Jesus said to him, again, it is written. So Jesus, again, when confronted with the evil one, starts to respond with the word of God. It is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, hey, this devil doesn't stop. He comes again. Again, the devil took him to a very, very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to Jesus, he says, all these, Jesus, all this, huh? I will give it to you if you will fall down and worship me. How desperate, folks. The devil was desperate for worship and acknowledgement and you know, a pat on the back. Then, with Jesus, how much more is he like that in the times that we are living in right now? Huh? He's desperate for worship. And Jesus said to him, this is where it gets interesting. First of all, Jesus says, hey, be gone. Be gone, Satan. For it is written. So again, Jesus quotes the word to him, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And because Jesus said, be gone, the next verse says, and the devil left him. And behold, the angels came and ministered to him. Folks, when Jesus said, be gone, the devil goes. And I want to tell you that you and I have the authority to use the name of Jesus. We have that authority. And the problem is, in the church, we don't use the authority that we've been given. When Jesus said, be gone, he went. And when you and I say, be gone in the name of Jesus, because the authority is in the name of Jesus. When you and I say, be gone in Jesus' name, he will do exactly the same. But us believers, we don't rise up using this authority. The next one, the fourth one. The Bible is a foundation for life. Now, behind God's word, when you read the word of God, is God's faithfulness. Is that true? It's behind his word. And if we live our lives in obedience to God, and we live our lives in obedience to the word of God, he, folks, he's faithful, and he will uphold us in difficult times and trying times. You better believe that. He's going to do that for us. Why? It's because he is faithful and is committed to his word. Is that true? He's committed, you know, to making sure that, you know, his word is yes and amen. And this is, as I say, he's just faithful. He's faithful to his word. So the key then is not just to hear his word, but it is to hear his word and then put his word into practice. How do I know that? Well, let me tell you. This is Jesus. Now, this is Jesus, folks, speaking to you and I here today. Is that okay? He's here. This is him speaking specifically to us here. And I'm reading from Matthew 7:24. This is Jesus' words. He says, everyone then who hears these words of mine So we hear the word, and then he goes on to say, and does them. So we hear it and does them. Jesus says, that person will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Isn't that amazing? So I just want to point out something interesting here, is that the house was founded on the rock before the winds came and the trials and the tribulations of life came. Okay? That's important that we see that. Jesus didn't stop there, and he goes on to say in verse 26, and he says, everyone who hears these words of mine, you are hearing what he's saying to you, and does not do them. He will be like the foolish man. The foolish man is the one that hears and doesn't do. Huh? Is that right? He hears the word and he doesn't do. He will be like the foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house. And it fell, and it says, and great was the fall. Great was the fall of it. So folks, the point is here that we need to not only hear the word, hear it, but we need to do it. Maybe there's an opportunity to wake the person up next to you and tell them what I've just said. We must not just hear the word. I can't hear you guys. We must not just hear the word, we need to do the word. Is that true? Folks, this is a key for us. In fact, it's so important. Let me read it out of the same concept we see in James chapter 1, verse 23. It says, for anyone who hears of the word, and let me read that again. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, so that people hearing the word and not doing it, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. So he looks at himself in the mirror, and he looks at himself, and he goes away, and at once he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, all right? So in terms of what we're doing, there is something, there's a key there for us. We need to be those who persevere. Don't throw in the towel. And perseveres, being a hearer who, be no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he, that person, will be blessed in his doing. Now, I want to say, if you want the favor of God resting upon you, you want the blessings of God resting upon you, there it is. Okay, he who hears the word and does the word will be blessed in his doing. Amen. The next thing, number five, the Bible equips us for good works. It says in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You know that you've been created for good works. You and I have been created for good works in Christ Jesus. It says, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God has prepared for you and for me as well good works for us to do. Good works, okay? I'm telling you now, folks, you will never, ever be able to fulfill those good works if you are not equipping yourself and you're not preparing yourself to be able to do them. Huh? And let me say this, by reading the word, by studying the word, by meditating on God's word daily, we become equipped to fulfill his plans and his purposes for our lives. That's how we do it. There's no shortcut when it comes to this. I'll read that 2 Timothy 3:16 again. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. What's my next number? You guys are on a roll here this morning, eh? Yeah, number six. The Bible shows us ourselves, but it doesn't only show us ourselves, it also reveals our sin. Is that right? Dave, don't use the S word in church. Well, I'm going to. Right. We need to hear what the word says. Sin, yeah. Why do we need to talk about it? Because we all sin. Is that true? In fact, the word says that there is pleasure in it. Because if there was no pleasure in sin, none of us would sin. I'm just saying. Is that true, Faye? Thank you. We had a little amen from the front there. Yes. Folks, when we read the Word of God, what actually happens, we see the standard that God wants you and I to live by. We see the standard. Now, we can clearly see in you know the areas of our lives where we fall short. Because if God sets the standard there, and we know what the standard is, and we are here, you know, at a lower level, you know, it enables us to say, hang on a second, I'm not where I should be. And it gives us an opportunity to make the necessary changes, make the necessary adjustments in our own lives. And of course, you know, that helps us live in a way that the Lord actually wants us to live in. Is that true? So this is what God wants us to do. Are you ready for it? Because we all sin. It doesn't mean that we're all sinners, but we all mess up. James 1:21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness. So what he's telling us that we need to do that because some of us, you know, there's stuff in our lives that we need to deal with. Is that correct? It says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and overflowing evil. So whatever evil stuff we might have in our lives as well, he says, just get rid of that as well. Receive in meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. And here it comes again. But become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So isn't that interesting? Keeps on getting back to this thing of us making sure that we're spending time in the word, we're meditating on the word of God on a regular, on a daily basis at least. Okay, because it will help us live out our lives. What's the next number? Yeah, seven. The Bible, or the Word of God, then also purifies our lives from sin. So it will reveal the level, you know, when we're messing up, but then it also purifies our lives from sin. Folks, when you and I, let me say, when we are aware of sins in our lives, We know what the word says about that particular sin because the Bible points those things out. We can then take the word of God and put the word of God into action in our lives. Is that true? We just put the word of God, you know, into action. It starts to work in our lives. And the result is that you and I will be purified. Now, it says in John 15:3, I'll just read a few scriptures here. It says, you are now clean. How do you become clean? Through the word which I have spoken to you. John 17:17, use the truth to make them holy. The truth, okay? Your words are truth. So we can see that the word of God also purifies us and makes us holy. We see in Ephesians 5, verse 26, so that he might make it holy, having made it clean with the washing of water and the word. So it's, again, the word is there to wash ourselves, that we can be cleansed and that we can live a life that is really, really pleasing to the Lord. Nearly done. The eighth one. The Bible assists us in preventing us now from sinning. Is that okay? It prevents us. Well, how does it prevent us? I can say, folks, if you are meditating on the Word of God daily, spending time in the Word of God, and you are confronted now with any kind of sin, we are far more, what's the word I'm looking for? Likely to emerge victorious than if we were not spending time in the Word of God. Is that true? We are, seriously, we can be victorious because we, you know, we're spending time in the Word. Now, there's an interesting scripture that we see, 1 John 2:1, that says, my little children, so now this is John writing to us, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Yay. So that's why he's writing, so that we may not sin. But then he says, but if anyone does sin, like all of us, huh, between now and next week, I'm sure each one of us will sin at least once. Maybe I should ask you, put up your hand if you think you're going to sin between now and next week this time. Oh, I see half of us are just incredible. Huh? I mean, look at half the congregation is, but gee, the other half, you guys, you should be preaching here. You should be sharing here. Huh? But he says, but if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Folks, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. And you know what he's doing? He's interceding for you. He's interceding for me. And, you know, one of the things that we need to be doing is still confessing our sin, because that is another way we deal with it. Like I said, that's probably my favorite scripture in the word, because when we confess our sins, it says he is faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, not some, from all unrighteousness. So we can keep on going back to the Lord. That doesn't give us a license now, all right, I'm going to go do my thing and then I'm going to go and, hey, Lord, confess my sins. No. We start to get our lives to line up with the Word of God, and we start to live in a way that is truly pleasing to Him. I just want to read Psalm 119, verse 9, and this asks a question. How can a young man keep his way pure? How can a young man keep his way pure? But it answers a question as well. It says, by guarding it according to your word. So again, if we want to keep ourselves pure, and young people, you want to keep yourselves pure, just get into the word, man. Just get into the word and ensure that you're not only hearing it, but that, you know, you are applying it in your life. The next one, number 9, the Bible encourages us to preach and teach. How can you say that, Dave? That is just for dominies. Huh? Is that right? No. It's for all of us. Okay? We need to get out there. Matthew 28, you know, we need to tell people, even if they don't believe, we tell them. We share the truth of the gospel. I've said, you know, you might be the one that's planting the seeds, someone else is watering and so on. Eventually somebody is going to reap. But we need to be actively doing this, folks. It's part of what the Lord calls us to do. But we're talking about here, you know, to preach and to teach. This is for all of us, sharing, you know, on a one-to-one, people you might know. And I'm saying when we know the Word of God, we will be able to speak into the lives of people. We're going to be able to teach people and share with them what the Word of God actually says. Okay? And we're going to be able to do this with confidence and also with authority. Right? How can you share the good news with your neighbor if you've never taken the time to read the Word of God? Because if you haven't done that, you actually don't know the Word. So, in other words, we become Christians, but... Okay, I don't mind if I offend some of you. We look like Christians. But there are many people who look like Christians that are not really doing what the Lord's told them to do. Is that right? Folks, we need to take this seriously, especially in the times that we are living in right now. I'm telling you, we are on 1 minute to 12, and just make sure that we are ready. There's no time to, how can I say, play church anymore. We need to take this very, very seriously. Okay? We know that God is faithful. And when we go out there and we share the truth of the gospel with other people, he's there and he'll back it up for us. Isn't that true? Okay? Because we're doing what he's called us to do. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture, there it is, huh? Is God-breathed by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. And also, it says in 2 Timothy 4:2, it says, preach the word. That is just for... Okay? For bishops. That is for bishops. No. It's for us. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Okay? And then it says, reprove, rebuke, exhort with complete patience and teaching. Now, when I was preparing this and I saw that, I thought, what does reprove actually mean? So I'm so grateful we have a thing, you know, that us just pastors have. It's called a dictionary. All right? So I looked it up. And that word reprove actually means gently reprimand. Okay? Gently reprimand. The next one, rebuke. It means to maybe harshly criticize. And then it says exhort, which means it's to urge or to earnestly advise. We need to be earnestly advising people about the good news. Amen? When last did you lead someone to the Lord? When last did you share the gospel? Now, I don't want to lay a number on anyone here. But folks, the time is short. We need to be doing this. I tell you, we need to be populating heaven. Is that true? The final one. The final countdown. The Bible builds faith. Builds faith. We know that the Word of God says that without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And I know that every one of us here today, you wouldn't be here today if you really didn't want to please God. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. And folks, God can never fail to keep His promises. Although many of the promises we see in the Word of God from God, they are conditions. So we need to be mindful of that. But really, by reading God's Word, we gain a greater confidence in Him and a greater trust in Him as well. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes. That's the good news, first of all, that faith can come. Imagine if we couldn't get faith. Faith comes, so it's out there, and then it tells us how does it come? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. So we need to expose ourselves to God's Word. And then finally, let us never forget this, what the Word of God says in 2 Timothy 3:16. Again, that all Scripture is God-breathed. God-breathed. For doctrine. Don't get your doctrine from Dubedat on channel TV there on a Sunday morning while you're dunking your rusk in your coffee, in your gown. Okay? Make sure, folks, we need to make sure. And I need to say this too. If I ever stand here, and it's possible, you know, I would love to say I know everything. Man, I know that much in terms of what the Word says. But if ever I stand here and I share something that is contrary to the Word of God, I'm asking you, please, they don't have to stand up and, you know, kind of give it to me in front of the congregation, okay? Right. But please come to me and say, Dave, listen here, you said this, but really, you know, if I'm incorrect, folks, in terms of something that I shared, right, and you can show me from the Word that it is incorrect, I'll be very happy to stand here the following Sunday and just say, hey, guys, I really didn't have a really good understanding of what I shared last week, and I'd like to just address it very quickly. Is that okay? Please, guys, I'm asking you to do that, because as soon as we think we reach a point, you know, that no one can speak into our lives, I'll tell you something, we're on very, very thin ice right there. So every scripture we read is God-breathed and God-inspired and a living God speaking to His people. And the main way that He speaks to His people, the most common way, is through the Word. And like I said, the Bible is inspired by God, right? It's authorized. It's an authorized revelation of God revealing Himself to His people. And really, it's our guide. To knowing God. How else can you get to know God? I'm just asking a question. How else can you get to know God? It's our guide to knowing God. It's also our guide to understanding ourselves. And also, it's our way of learning how to live a life that is really glorifying our Creator. And that's what we should be doing. Okay? And just in closing, we need to, if you're not doing it, start today. start to devote regular time every day to getting into the Word of God, because I don't know how how anybody can, as a Christian, how we can actually survive if we're not spending time in the Word that God has actually given us. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Come here. Not there.